Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Myself and, of course, the other half of the show, Big Will Koontz.
That's me, hello.
Hello, William. Hungover today or no?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a rough day. And I ate garbage all weekend.
Good boy.
I did. I went to, like, some weird fair that was in my neighborhood.
Well, you're in St. Pete. Everywhere is weird.
Yeah, that's true. But I did all the fair foods, funnel cakes,
ooh,
corn dog,
oh,
all that crap. And then pizza yesterday after the game. And then that crappy sandwich from that place.
Why do you run every day?
Well, so I can eat, like, garbage on the weekends. That's typically why.
We still got Mike Rivera with us, hanging out, America's Funniest Teacher, this Friday night, Tampa Theater with the Board Teachers Tour, 7 o'clock show. You can go online, get your darn tickets before it sells out. The Tampa Theater, my favorite local venue, I'm going to say it right now. It is a very historic place. You walk in there and you could feel the ghost staring at you, but it's just beautiful. I was there in February for the Alan Stone concert, my favorite artist, by the way. Vocal artist, Alan Stone. If you don't know him, look him up. Very nice. White guy, looks like a barista, sounds like Stevie Wonder. Now, we have another legend in the studio, Barbecue Hall of Famer, and of course, proud entrepreneur of one of the best barbecue restaurants around, Dr. Barbecue's here in St. Petersburg. It is Ray Lampe, a.k.a. Dr. Barbecue. How are you, buddy?
Great, Johnny B. Great to see you. Great to be here. Talk to the bone people.
Yeah.
They always show me love when I see them out on the street, so it's great to see everybody.
Yeah, man. I mean, you were part of this family here a few years ago for a while, so everybody got a little taste of the Dr. Barbecue. Now they want more.
I'm still part of the family, Johnny. You can't get rid of me that easy.
No, man. You're right.
I'll just show up when you're not expecting it.
Oh, ain't nobody going to kick you out, that's for
exactly.
Sure.
See, that's the thing. I reached that level where I can kind of sneak in.
Yeah.
I always remember as a kid, like, the Tonight Show, and, like, Jack Benny would just walk out.
Yep.
And Johnny Carson just and sit down, and he'd be like, hey, Jack, how are you? I'm not quite that famous, but, you know, locally, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I used to be that way with local comedy clubs, you know, but I think if I did that at the Improv now, they'd probably try to charge me walking in since I hardly ever work that room anymore. I think I'm going to pop in Wednesday night to see what they say. I'm at that point now with BT at Sidesplitter. I can just walk in, and he's like, hey, Johnny's here. Give him all the drinks. I'm kidding. That doesn't happen. First of all, how's the restaurant doing? Everything going busy?
Yeah, I mean, it's an adventure all the time. I went there, you know, it's really hard these days with labor.
Yeah.
You know, your local restaurants, go there, spend money, be nice to them. If it's not the exact experience you hoped for, still be nice. Or we're not going to have them. I mean, it's still that hard on restaurants. So, you know, yeah, constantly trying to get good labor. And then just like out of the blue, we can't get turkey for a month and stuff like that. So it's a challenge every day. But, you know, that's the game. And it's why I always avoided the restaurant biz. You know, luckily I got good restaurant people around me and they take care of the stuff. And I just walk in and point at stuff like I actually did it.
Right.
So it's good. You know, we get, you know, people really like us. It's a lot of fun.
Every time I've thought of a few times, even recently, of maybe doing a food truck or doing just a small little something pub with food or something like that, you know, because I'm a culinarian myself. But when I start thinking about the ins and outs of running it and worrying about, I heard you speaking with the gentleman from Cisco at Pig Jig and hearing you guys talk shop about how you order and all that stuff. I was like, that's the part I would be so scared of when it comes to being a successful restaurateur and all that.
Yeah, it's a business. That's what I try to tell young people that are going to do this. It's a business. You know, so a food truck sounds great because you don't have to do a lot of that.
Right.
It's real simple. Well, yeah, but you know what that means? It's hard to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, so like a lot of barbecue guys will, so they know how to cook barbecue like you. You know how to cook. So your friends are like, oh, you should open a restaurant. Well,
right. It's
not that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So what and barbecue guys often do, and I've seen it around the country many times, so they won't have a bar, they don't have waitresses. You just walk in, you get your food, and maybe there's a picnic table there.
Right.
I had a friend in New York on Long Island. He moved the counter, he had his space, he moved the counter way up to the front so he wouldn't have to do that. Well, that's all good and well, but you know, maybe a secret, but restaurants make money on beer and drinks and dessert and appetizers and stuff. It's hard to make money on brisket, so you kind of need to do all of that. And again, luckily, I have the folks from DATS that are my partners. Ooh. They know how to do all that stuff. I mean, that's why I... You know, the only other restaurant I ever worked at was Justin Timberlake's restaurant in New York. And
nice.
And it was a similar thing. I didn't really have to do anything. You know, I certainly guided them to cook good barbecue, provided recipes, and you know, did all the, again, I pointed stuff a lot.
That, yeah.
You know, it looks like you're doing something good.
That's overcooked.
Right. Yeah, quit doing it like that.
That is funny. So you've written 9 cookbooks. I have a couple of them at my house right now. You know, I have to display the good ones, you know what I mean? So people, they walk in and they go, oh, what is that? And I go, it's just, you know, my Dr. Barbecue cookbook, my big deal. I'm like, oh, wow, where'd you get it? I go, open it up. It's signed. I mean,
yeah, you keep it open to the sign page. Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, and then I go, well, we're pals. I mean, it's like, what, you know him? I go, I do have a photo album, just the two of us right here. No, it's not that bad, but... I remember first time I met you, though, it was at a Beckles event or something a long time ago, and I was fanboying pretty hard, and I had to like tell myself to back off. I go, I'm probably freaking this guy out. I need to leave him alone, right? Because I'm a big barbecue guy. I love it. So you know, and then I got to knowing you. I go, he's like a guy. He's like a regular old dude. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that bothered by it. I mean, fat hairy guys are my people. You know. It's, so, you know, when I see one coming, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a fan.
There you go.
Laura Riley, who used to write in the paper here, who now is Washington Post and a big deal. Laura wrote this article about me one time, and she said he has the perfect level of fame. Because if you're a barbecue freak, man, I'm like Elvis in the room. But if you're not a barbecue freak, you're like, who's that guy, man?
Right.
He's creeping me out, you know? So it's the perfect thing. I can kind of, like, in some areas, I'm really famous. Although I've been going on Fox locally, like, every other Wednesday now. Yeah. It's like a new thing, and because of that, I'm really famous at Publix now.
Nice.
If I'm hanging at Publix, man, those are my people. So now I've tapped into another generation of people, like old people at Publix.
Nice.
What's the correlation between Fox and Publix?
I don't know. It's a good question, but it is for sure. Fox. I mean, it's interesting. I've been on all the local TV stations a bunch, you know, like we all have. But the Fox is the one that really moves the needle. You know,
I've done
some of these shows for years, and nobody ever says. You know, I saw you on that, man, Fox. Of course, I'm on the 4 o'clock news, which is really cool, too.
Right.
It's like the fun news hour, so that's why they have me on.
Mm-hmm.
But it moves the needle, man. It's great. They've been very good to me.
Yeah, I like the Fox folks, too. I like Mark Wilson. I like Delgado and all the Charlie Belcher, you know. Of course, I know all the folks over at, you know, NBC and all that. But, yeah, Fox is the best. It really is the best. They do.
Charlie Belcher's actually the one that connected me with him over there. They were looking for somebody to do a tailgate thing a few years back.
Yeah.
And Charlie's like, call Ray. He's the best. So thank you, Charlie, if you're out there.
Absolutely. Of course, if people don't know, you've been on Chopped. You've been on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri. Was he starstruck by you?
I actually was friends with Guy before he was on TV.
What?
Guy was sniffing around like to learn about barbecue. And, of course, I mean, I've been literally 40 years ago. I'm telling you, in September,
I've seen
40
the pictures
years
of,
since
of,
I went to my first cook-off.
I've seen you with a little barrel smoker, a little young
and a mullet.
Ass.
I had the mullet and the wife beater shirt on.
Adorable.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I was cute, wasn't I? Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
But so Guy was like sniffing around trying to learn about barbecue because he had opened the barbecue and sushi restaurant. So he was hanging around with us and trying to learn about barbecue. I mean, you know, he was still Guy Fieri. He was this mega personality. No one that knew him before was surprised when all of a sudden he blew up like that. He might have taken it a little beyond what we expected from him. Like, I mean, you just can't be any further up the food chain. But yeah, he was always good to me. We did a tailgate show one time where I've done a lot of TV shows, and I've never done one where everybody was allowed to wear their sunglasses except the one that Guy was running.
Of course.
So we could all have our sunglasses on.
And, of course, Chopped. I've seen you on a few episodes of Chopped, too. I get so jealous because I'm like, you know, some of my favorite chefs, you know, you're on there with Gornicelli, who I got like a crush on.
Me too.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
Is she not? There's something about her, man. Like, If you weren't like a food fan and you were just a normal normal guy, you would be like, oh, it's just some, you know, chubby middle-aged lady. But I like chubby middle-aged ladies, and I like them that can cook and have her personality and everything else. And And, yeah, something about her, but...
Well, she's kind of like the Italian grandma.
Yeah.
But she's kind of a babe.
Yeah.
So it's like, what? How much better could you find?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, that's you explained it perfectly. So that's, you know, we're planning a trip to New York City after we get married sometime next year, and... we got to go to her restaurant. You know, she has a restaurant called Butter, for God's sakes. Right.
Eat the pork chop, Johnny. I'm telling you. You got to make a reservation early, or you might be able to sneak in at the bar. I went one time.
Yeah.
And but the pork chop has been the thing on the menu forever. And
okay.
Man, it is. You won't be sorry.
Done deal. Let's talk turkey. You are, I guess, the spokes chef for turkeysmoke.org.
Yeah, so the National Turkey Federation, there's actually two of them. One is for hunters.
Okay.
And the other one is to represent the turkey industry as a lobbying group in Washington.
Oh.
Which, you know, far beyond what I understand about it. But they also do some marketing type stuff, and they wanted to embrace the barbecue world to see, you know, if we could cook more turkeys on the grill, we would cook more turkeys. And it really has gone well. They go to a lot of cook-offs. They're involved in like 25 cook-offs around the country. We were at Memphis in May. We had like over 200 people enter the turkey smoke-off of
Ooh.
It. So it was really cool. But they needed someone like me to kind of, you know, kind of represent it with all the credibility. But I'm also, I can also talk to their members, which are the turkey industry people. I got to go to Tyson Foods and help them with some ideation of what they might, some kind of new turkey products they could create. And the people at Honeysuckle and Cargill and all, and Butterball. I spoke to the Butterball, like the Butterball hotline people.
Oh.
I did like a demo for them. Unfortunately, it was during COVID, so I didn't get to go up there, but
right.
I did it via Zoom to teach them about smoked turkey because they get questions about it.
Yeah, they have a hotline for people that want to know how to cook the turkey.
Right, yeah, exactly. And you know, barbecue and turkeys has become such a big deal, so they needed some input from me. So I'm just really lucky, but I can kind of do all of that for them and still go to the cook-off and be on the boots on the ground with them, too. So it's been really a lot of fun. And I create a bunch of recipes for them. Turkeysmoke.org. That's where all the recipes are. So what we're talking about this year is coming up to Thanksgiving. Everybody's worried about turkeys. There's turkeys. Don't worry about it. Now, you know, you may, like every year, if you wait, you may not get the exact one you want, the exact brand, the exact size. But there's plenty of turkeys out there. They sort of held back all these turkeys waiting for the holidays, and they're there. They're going to be available. But you know, get creative, too. If you feel like doing something different, if you just kind of you're worried about it, go get a turkey breast. There's a bunch of recipes there for really interesting, fun stuff of doing turkey on the grill. And, of course, some like leftover recipes, too, pot pies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm on the website right now, and we're going to post it on the Johnny B. Show page also, turkeysmoke.org. Oh, this is like porn for me. Like this is good stuff.
Well, it's fun. It's you know, I heard Will Doggin Turkey over there.
Yeah, he's a big hater, Dr. Barbecue.
Let me explain myself a little bit. It's not that I don't enjoy a turkey, but I will say it's probably my least favorite item of, you know, that genre. So I'd rather have brisket, you know, wings, sausage, whatever. Turkey would probably be last on my list for a selection.
See, ironically, I've always been, I understand that because like Johnny was saying earlier, a lot of people overcook it. Mm-hmm. My grandma would start cooking that sucker at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if it was going to be done or not. It was going to be done. And, you know, it'd be dry and that turns people off. But also we don't think of turkey in any kind of creative way. Well, we do more so now, but we just get to cook turkey like grandma showed us. 3 times a year, and that's it. And there's no reason for that. Turkey's really good. So I have this weird long relationship with turkey. My first barbecue cook-off trophy that I ever won was in 1991. And back then, it was so early that the category was poultry, so you could cook a turkey. And I still have at my office this 30-year-old trophy. It's like a plastic bowling trophy, but it was for cooking a turkey. So I've always liked turkey, and I've always been felt like it's a great canvas. Because like you're saying, it can be boring, plain, kind of basic, but there's so much stuff you can do with it. And that's been the fun for me creating these recipes.
Yeah, I mean, every year, I'm super proud of my turkey. Every year, but it is a lot of work. But I think if you put the work in, you know, you brine it, you know, I do the overnight brine, and then I inject it like it's Keith Richards, probably way too much with so much butter, and then you know, I wrap the entire thing in bacon, you know.
Nice.
And then, you know, so it has no choice but be juicy. I don't give it a choice.
The other thing we know now, we all cook with a little more science in our mind. You know, my grandma had a meat thermometer, but it never came out of the drawer. It was one of them old school ones and with the dial on it. Now we all have a good instant meat thermometer. If you don't, this is the time to buy one so you'll have it for Thanksgiving. And we know the right temperature. So you take the temperature of the thing. When it's 165 throughout, you check it a couple different places, it's done. Don't mess around with it. Take it out and let it rest. Don't cook it some more. You know, my grandma, who knows? She just cooked it till it, you know, till it was time to eat it, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, she started at 5 in the morning. But we know the science of it better now, and that helps a lot. So here's my trick that is my personal trick, and a friend of mine showed me this. So
write this down, everybody. Grab pen and paper. All right.
So the problem we have with turkey is the white meat gets done before the dark meat.
Right.
Just the way it goes, and then it gets dry. So you got to figure out how to handle that. So what I do is take my turkey, make sure you take it out 4 days ahead. Make sure it's good and defrosted. So then get all the stuff out of it, get it out of the packaging, get it where you want it.
By the way,
ready to go on the grill.
To reiterate, for like, say, a 25-pound turkey, it needs to be, what, 3 or 4 days they need to take it out,
I just go 4 days, even if it's a smaller one. It's going to be okay. And you know, a lot of times you get them and there's still ice in there. So 4 days, for me, works pretty good. In the refrigerator, though. Not, you know, not on the counter, not ever.
Right.
Don't do it like that. Just take it out, time it. And then when it's ready to go on the smoker or in the oven, take a gallon bag of ice, the Ziploc bag, fill it with ice, lay it on top, on the white meat. So then the white meat gets really cold and let it sit there for an hour. At the same time, the dark meat kind of warms up a little bit, like gives it a head start. And it's amazing how far that goes towards somehow evening it out.
That, see, science. That is pretty brilliant. I like that.
Yeah, my grandma never thought of that. You know what I mean? She was just an old school French cook. She just put that sucker in and cooked it till it was dead.
Every time I think of a dry turkey, I think about that movie, A Christmas Story, you know, where he keeps trying to go in and pick the skin off. And the whole, even as a kid, I thought, God, that turkey, it doesn't look good. Like, it looks dry, it looks unseasoned.
No thermometer in sight, of course, you know.
What are they doing, you know? Like, Mike, do you cook your own turkey every year?
No.
No?
I'm thinking, no, you know. The stuffing. How do you do your stuffing? Do you have recipes for that?
Oh, yeah.
I do, yeah. I like, my favorite one is the White Castle stuffing.
Oh, that is a good one. I've seen that one.
Because think about it. So you buy the, you'll find it. It's easy to find online. And you go buy the frozen White Castle burgers. And so think about it. If you're going to make stuffing, you need bread, you need onion, you need a little bit of meat. You know, some cheese is an option, not a bad thing.
Sure.
I usually skip the pickles.
No, I don't
on that good in stuffing. But you've got all the basic stuff to make stuffing into White Castle burgers, and I think it's pretty cool. And the people that don't like White Castles, they don't really notice. And if you like White Castles, you're into it.
So yeah.
It's fun. So you want to cook it on the side. We call it stuffing still, but it's just never a good idea to cook it in the turkey. Now, there's people that do, and if that's your thing, go for it. But
it gets that turkey fat, and it kind of changes the whole kind of texture.
Well, for me, it disrupts that cooking of the turkey. You know, it's so critical to get the turkey to 165 and no higher. Now all of a sudden you've got to somehow get that stuffing in the middle warmed up, and you, once again, you end up overcooking the turkey, and it's not going to add that much flavor to the turkey.
Yeah, so technically
to the stuffing, I should say,
it's dressing, you know. But if you have somebody at your house and you know you have some stuffing in a casserole dish, and one of your guests says, actually it's not stuffing because it's not in the turkey, then don't invite them back.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because that person's a jerk. They know what they're eating. I think somebody taught me a trick a long time ago that I've been using forever now. I fry sage leaves in butter, like a bunch of them.
Sounds good.
And then I take them out, you know, when they're crispy. Then I use that sage butter as the base of frying all my onions and garlic and everything that I use in the stuffing. And then, of course, you know, then after that, it's just dry breadcrumbs and chicken stock. And I use breakfast sausage because I like the flavor of that better than regular.
Too.
And, you just build it up from there. Stuffing's beautiful. And you get your hands in there, you know, you get it all mixed up. I think stuffing might be my favorite.
Right. I mean, it's certainly a part of it. And that's where the gravy comes in, too. You got to make good gravy because your stuffing is going to need it. Hopefully, your turkey won't need it so bad.
Right.
You know, that was the other thing with grandma's turkey. You better have good gravy because the turkey was so dry.
The only way you can do it, our cranberry sauce, like the whole can. Yeah.
Yep, just put it all on there.
Now, when you make gravy, do you use the turkey drippings or do you use another fat?
I actually will go buy some necks or wings or something like that and like make a whole stock thing aside from that. Now, I'll still use whatever's hanging out in the bottom of the pan, but I've made a whole stock ahead of time that's my plan for the gravy.
Smart. Yeah, that way you don't have to worry about it.
Well, you know, get into it. I always say this about tailgating, too. If you said, hey, I'm going to cook Thanksgiving dinner or I'm going to do the tailgate and invite a bunch of people over, well, get into it. Don't sandbag on it, you know. Make the gravy if you got to make it on Wednesday. Go ahead, do it. That's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hosting and you got to go all out. You got to do it. So,
well, if you invited me and you over for your dinner, I expect you to really go after it and make something good. You know, don't go easy on it.
Now, if somebody wants to smoke or barbecue their turkey, what are a couple of ways that they could go about it? Because I'm sure, you could just do, I'm looking at the website right now, grilled butterfly turkey legs is an option. There's a Carolina style turkey,
That thing was really good. It was way better than I thought.
Yeah. So, I mean, what would you suggest somebody if they wanted to try it for the first time this
year? Well, I'll tell you what I do. So, a lot of guys now want to spatchcock it. Guys are guys, so if I can use my giant pair of shears and butterfly the turkey. But it does cook more even, and it's a good way to go. However, at my house, if we bring the turkey, like, flattened out to the table, it just kind of doesn't have the same charm for the holidays. Do that in the summer when you feel like making a turkey, but for Thanksgiving I want it to look like a turkey. So I cook it on the grill or the smoker almost exactly the same as I do in the oven, 325 for the temp. I just find cooking real low for a turkey is, you end up kind of mushy, the meat gets. So 325 is the right temp to cook it at, and then not too much wood. It's one of those things. It people, if you're a barbecue cook, you think, well, if a little bit of wood is good, a lot must be better. And it just doesn't go that way. And some people just aren't that into it, especially, on a holiday like that.
Right.
And if it's undersmoked, it's still going to be really good. If it's oversmoked, you're going to bum some people out. So always go easy on the wood. Frankly, for me, just charcoal or just like if you got a pellet smoker, just use that. And don't worry about over-smoking it. It's Thanksgiving, but it's certainly a couple things it does. Give it a nice little extra layer of flavor, that little bit of charcoal and smoke flavor. But also it gets it out of the oven. So when you're making the mac and cheese and the green bean casserole and all that stuff, the turkey's out there on the smoker. Right, and that works out real well, too.
Now, would you recommend spritzing it like you would a pork butt every now and then or anything like that?
I don't. I'll rub it good with butter or oil ahead of time, maybe even under the skin.
Uh-huh.
But I don't. I buy a butterball or a honeysuckle white, which are injected pump turkeys, because I just like those. There's just no reason to, start from scratch. I think they're good. So those just don't need a lot of that. And frankly, like when you're barbecuing, the spritzing and mopping thing, by modern barbecue techniques, it's just an excuse to peek.
Yeah.
So you're better off just leaving the lid closed.
Amen. See?
In the old days when we would cook directly over fire and the fire would be too hot and the meat was getting a little charred, that's when you would mop stuff just to kind of mellow it out and cool it down. These days, you got complete, your temp is perfectly controlled on your grill probably. You know what time you want that turkey done. Might even have one of them things with a little wire to check the temp as you're going along.
They got the wireless probes now to hook up to your phone.
Yeah. So there's no reason to open the lid, and I'd say leave it,
Absolutely.
What's your thoughts on fried turkey? A lot of people love a good fried turkey.
Yeah, heck yeah. I love fried turkey.
It's hard to beat anything fried well.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And a lot of guys, too, they will smoke the turkey for a while and then fry it. Actually, I brought you some wings from the restaurant, and that's what we do. We smoke them for a while and then fry them, because that way you get that nice crispy. Because a smoked turkey, it is what it is. It's like the one coming out of the oven. The skin's probably not going to be great. Right. A fried turkey, man, the skin is great.
So, yeah.
So, I'll eat. I mean, I'm pretty much going to anything fried or smoked. I don't know. If you can do a combo of that, it's even better.
Has anybody ever, I've seen fried turkeys, they drop them in there. Has anybody ever made like a batter like fried chicken and put the whole chicken in it and dip that in there? Could you imagine? It just looks like one big giant piece of KFC coming out.
Yeah.
No, but it sounds good.
I would be into that 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is in the back of my head too. For everybody who wondered why we didn't dump it when he said spatchcock, spatchcocking people, for you, if you don't know, it's where you cut the spine out of a bird and then lay it flat. You see it with chickens a lot,
like butterflying it, right?
Yeah, basically, you just take the backbone out and then you boom, lay it flat. And they're like, it's spatchcocked. They're like, ah, dump it. He said it bad.
We all like to say semi-dirty words on the radio if you can get away with it.
Oh, we say things that we're not supposed to say all the time on here. So,
yeah, it gets us in trouble.
But let's get back to that batter-fried whole turkey. I'm kind of liking that idea.
Well, it's yours if you want to run with it. I won't take any credit. I'll act like you brought it up. But it just popped in my head when we were like fried turkey, and I thought, yeah, and everything fried is good. And I thought one of the things good about fried is the batter. You know, you get a big thing now is chicken sandwiches. Every fast food joint wants to compete with the Popeyes when it came out 3 years ago. But, and they're doing okay with it. Wingstop has a good one. KFC's got a new.